Most of all, we just thank you for the privilege that we have to come in here and lift you up, praise and worship this morning, Father, as a family, Father. And we just ask you, Lord, if there's one that don't know you as Lord and Savior, we just pray today they might hear the good news. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, you guys ready to sing a little bit this morning?
Yes.
All right. We got something to sing about, right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord with all your heart. Praise the Lord with all your strength. He's worthy to be praised. So glorify his name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Redeemed of the Lord say so.
What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Sing it to him. What a mighty God we serve. He's mighty. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen. All right, we've got one announcement, I think. They said we're celebrating Mother's Day and Father's Day today. All right. Do we have any birthdays or anniversaries we need to mention this week? How about any new visitors? Nope. Bruce, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Craig. All right. I didn't get this for Father's Day, by the way. We are going to celebrate Father's Day. We do that each year. And also, because of the quarantine, we didn't really get to properly recognize our moms, Mother's Day. So we're doing both today. And we do have a gift for our ladies. And I would say all the ladies here are a mom in a sense. And so we're going to, we've got a gift for each one. And dads, a keychain tape measure to see if we measure up, all right? It's a Harbor Freight special, guys, all right? So each of those. And then maybe the ladies might say, look, you keep the flour, give me one of those tape measures. We got enough. Let me just ask all of our moms to stand up today. We want to give you a big round of appreciation. Let's give a big hand to our moms, okay? All right, please be seated. And then now all our dads here today, all our dads stand up, all right? Let's give them a big hand. Okay, all right, sit on down if you would. On the way out of the service today, all the ladies will get a flower and the guys a tape measure. So we'll take care of that. You know, I asked another couple of pastors about how things have been going since they started service, and a couple of them said, you know, that first Sunday, boy, we had a good turnout, but then since then it's been going down. He said, I'm beginning to think they like staying around at home in their pajamas, drinking their coffee, and listening to the service on the internet. So it seems like it may be going that way here too. But we're going to keep on meeting, and we welcome each one. And I just want to restate again, and, you know, that's our heart. If somebody is just not comfortable being a part of the service yet, hey, look, we understand that. My own mom, we're kind of encouraging her to hang around at home a little bit more, not being as big of crowds. She's got some serious lung issues, and so we're having to watch for that. But I think, you know, we're going to keep on meeting as God gives us grace. And as we said in our documentation, what we've stated, if adjustment needs to be made, we're going to be paying attention to that. We are concerned about the safety of our congregation, the well-being. All right? All right, so let me do this. We do this each year. Now, if you've ever been here and you thought, how come I never win in one of these categories, today is your chance, all right? All right, there's about 30 of us here. You might just win, even if you got a son that's 28 or 30. Okay. All right, let me see. Gerald, will you be able to help me? Our oldest mom, and this one I know every year, it's just one of those ones. You're probably thinking, do I really want to stand up and take that honor? But you should wear it proudly if you're the oldest mom. So let me just ask, if we have any mom here today who's 80 years and above, would you stand up? 80 years of age and above, okay? And I'm going to call out the years, and if I get your year, you go ahead and sit down, and the last one standing gets this card and gift card. Okay, so 81 years of age, our mothers, okay? Looks like you've got it this year, all right? All right. Okay, now the mother with the most children and the two moms that are usually in competition for this are not here today. It's usually Alice and Mrs. Molina, and we usually duke it out with them because we've included grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So you might be in the running here, okay? So let's just start here. If you have three children or more and you're a mom, would you stand up? Three children or more, and you're a mom, okay, would you stand up, all right? You're a mom, you have three children or more, okay? All right, four children or more remain standing. Four children or more remain standing. Five children or more remain standing. Gerald, would you come and present this to Shirley? Good job, all right. Okay, oldest father here today. So if you're a father, you're a dad here today, and let's start at 80 years of age and up. Stand up. If you're at least 80 and you're a dad, would you stand up? Okay, I have three in the running here now. Okay, so if you sit down when I call your year, okay? 81, 82 years of age. 83 years of age, 84, 85 years of age, 86 years of age. Next year, 87. Okay, Mr. Shelton, how many years do you have?
88.
88, all right. That's our winner today, oldest father. Okay, now here's the one that's really going to get interesting, and this is father with the youngest child. Okay. Craig, didn't you win it one year?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So let's see how we're going to figure this one out. If you're a father here today and you've got a child that's at least 5 years of age, would you stand up? Okay, I'm looking around. A child, you're a father, you got a child at least 5 years of age. Now, other dads, your children are at least five, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead and stand up. All right. We're going to go by 5 year increments now. If you're a father and you got a child that's 10 years of age. Okay, we're going for the youngest child. Okay, hang in there with us. Mike, how old is TJ? 11. Craig, how old's Caleb?
21.
You're out of this, Caleb. And Mr. Shelton, all right, this one goes to Mike back there. All right. Okay. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. You never know what's going to happen. I said, this year pays to show up. You never know. This might have been your chance, so. All right, don't forget on the way out for all of our ladies, we've got enough, a flower, a rose, and a baby's breath. And then for the guys, our six-foot keychain measuring tape from Harbor Freight. Okay. All right. Craig, you come and do the prayer time.
Okay, so we're going to take a few minutes, take any prayer requests or any praise that you might have. I have a praise. Last week we were gone. We bunch of our guys, we poured concrete Friday, and we had a real good day. We broke a record of how many foundations we did, and they said, "You're taking us fishing." I said, "I am." And I said, "Okay." So I hadn't had the boat running probably a year. It's been sitting in the garage. So we loaded up and we went fishing, and we got about 30 miles offshore and broke a crankshaft. And we did catch some fish, and we had to idle in. It took us about 5 hours, but we made it back in, so I praise the Lord for that. Anybody else got anything, Shirley? Awesome. That's a good thing in Florida, for sure. Yes. Jan. Praise the Lord. Man, that's good. Great news. All right, congratulations. Anybody else? Yes. Amen. 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 Yes, it is. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jim. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Let me get Mr. Shelton. Yes. Thank you. All right, Sherman.
I just want to thank God that I have my dad for another Father's Day.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right, Marshawn, would you lift these prayer requests up for us? Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, it's time for, no love offering. Just automatic for 20-something years, but I guess, yeah.
Preachers of habit. We're going to sing a little bit more. How about that? You can stand up and sing. You got to love your neighbor from a distance today.
Lord, I thirst for you. Jesus, I am thirsty.
Thank you, Eva. That's beautiful worship service this morning. Let me give you a little report on the brisket and biscuits yesterday. It was great. We had our men's prayer gathering breakfast, and Mike Garrett smoked a brisket for 18 hours, Holly. Woke up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, to check it out, and Ed, who's not feeling well today, he made 2 trays of biscuits, and it was great. It was great. So I wanted to give you a report on that, let you know it was good. Also, yesterday, we had a memorial service. It was primarily family for Betty and Lawrence Sweat, and there at the house that where they built, they lived outside of Okeechobee on a piece of property that they cleared themselves. And built a beautiful log cabin and just a wonderful home there. And we were just blessed to know Lawrence and Betty. And they're with the Lord on the other side of this life. And we had a good opportunity yesterday to give thanks for their life. So today's Father's Day. And each year we take time to recognize, to celebrate, to try to encourage and also to challenge dads and moms in this important work that they do. And so I realize in talking today that not everybody's a dad here, but most every one of us know a dad. And I want today, like the title of the message is Dads, You Are Needed. Dads, You Are Needed. And I'm just going to kind of tell you right at the outset, we're going to pray in a moment, but I'm going to share with you some pretty staggering statistics of what's going on in our culture. And it's recognized. I just invite you to, if you do much in the way of searching on the internet, you can check it out. There's just, the impact is felt in our culture. And you know, I'm going to throw out some numbers that might just really shock you today. But it's not without hope, and I don't want us to leave here without hope. But I do want to ask each and every one, if you know a father, somebody who's in the process of growing up, a child, and let's include moms too. We're celebrating moms today as well, and that is to encourage them. I'll tell you, I spent about 6 hours this week reading statistics, one after another, different sources. When I finished, I thought, I'm going to call our kids, our two boys and our son-in-law, and I got on the phone right in my office there, and I called them, and I just told them, I said, I want to let you know that I love you. I'm grateful for the job that you are trying to do with your children, and I want to let you know we're here for you. That was to our son-in-law as well, and just to let him know that we're behind him, and I hope that will be your heart if you know somebody who's growing up a child in this time. So, well, let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts and help us to consider the importance of fathers in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather, Lord, to gather in this building with fellow believers, and Lord, to recognize and celebrate fathers and mothers. And today, Lord, please help us as we take a look at what's going on the ground in our time, and also to look into your word and to find direction. And Lord, help us not to be discouraged, but Lord, help us to be determined and resolute to do your will and to encourage those that we know to do your will. And Lord, please help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, we each year make it a point to recognize, to celebrate, to encourage and challenge dads and moms in this important work that we do. Today, we take a look at fathers, and the right kind of fathers. They love their families, they work for and provide for their families, and they give to their families, and they are satisfied with the happiness that they provide for their families. So it's good to have a day when we pause to honor our fathers and to thank them for all that they do. But in many households today, there is no dad present physically. And in some homes, the dad may be home physically, but not emotionally, and not at home spiritually. And that's a serious problem. The breakdown of the family is a huge crisis in our society. It's acknowledged and recognized by community leaders, by policymakers, by educators, by public safety officials, and clergy alike. I listened as I was preparing for this message to a speech that our former president Obama gave in 2008. He was a senator at that time. On Father's Day in Chicago, he gave a speech about Father's Day. I encourage you to listen to it and the challenge to realize how important a father is in the life of their children. The absence of fathers is considered to be one of the most powerful predictors of criminal activity in the life of young people, the absence of a father. And, you know, contrary to what some are saying, there are some, if you're aware of the culture we live in, that are attacking and trying to diminish the traditional gender roles. There's a lot of confusion in our world today. Not sure whether men are men or women are women, and not sure of a whole lot of things. But friends, and there are those that argue that whatever family you choose is just as valid as the real thing. And I would want to say, let us go with God's design. Let us go with what God has ordained. Engaged and attentive fathers are integral to the life of a child. This is in no way an attempt to guilt or to shame single moms or single dads. That's not the purpose of why I stand here today in any way. There are many single moms and single dads who are doing heroic work for and with their children, and we commend them. We do. Through no choice of their own, there are many single moms who are trying to corral those kids and grow them up. And there are some single dads, although they're outnumbered by about 3-1. And there are dads who are not in the home physically for whatever reason, but who are still engaged and attentive to their children's needs, and we commend them as well. But the sad fact remains that more and more children are growing up without a dad in their lives. And we're going to take a look at that, the impact of that. But at the same time, there is an encouraging indication, and the Pew Research Center, which kind of takes a look at American life, reports that fathers who live in the same home with their children have become increasingly more engaged in the lives of their kids. In 2015, fathers reported spending an average of 7 hours a week interacting with their children, compared to 2.5 hours a week in 1965. So that's an encouraging sign that that fathers are realizing the importance of the time they spend with their children. Here's another important statistic that came out. Today, 57% of dads say that they see parenting as a central part of their identity. I'm going to tell you, being a father, being a husband to Deb and being a father to our three kids has been one of the most important things in my life. Certainly my relationship with God, a child of God, that's the source of it all. It teaches us, really informs us of really everything. But, you know, I've said this throughout the years. I've loved ministry. We've been at it for almost 40 years now. And I've had great times in the ministry, and you know, there have been those days where I wished I could have been doing something else. I just got to be honest with you. It's just a part of it. But I will tell you, Deb and I have regarded our family as our first ministry. And if what I was doing career-wise, professionally as a minister, caused me not to be a parent that I should be, a father I should be, you know what? I was willing to step down from this because it's that important, the life of a child. And so this is important what we speak about. While it's true that more fathers are taking time to come home from work and throw the football around with their kids, there are an increasing number of children who find themselves without an active parental presence in their life. The same Pew Research Center stated in this report, in 1960, only 8% of American children lived apart from their dads. Today, that number has grown to 23%. So in 1960, less than 1 in 10 children grew up without a dad in their home. Today, it's nearing 1 out of every 4 children. And growing up without a father in their lives, some 18 million children. This was a shocking statistic to me. Out of all the nations on our globe, on our planet, the United States has the most number of children living in homes without their fathers, some 18 million children in the United States. I want to share some sobering statistics with you. I'm going to read them off here and just share a couple of insights. These are reported statistics of people who have run into some difficulties, and when they take stock of their home situation, here's what's reported. 90% of homeless runaway children are from fatherless homes, and within 72 hours, the majority of those either become victims or perpetrators of a crime. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. Children who grew up with involved fathers have higher self-esteem. 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders came from fatherless homes. Children who grow up with involved fathers perform better in schools. Now, that's reported by educators across the map. 80% of adolescents in mental health hospitals are from fatherless homes. 77% of teenagers and kids in chemical abuse rehab centers come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. Put another way, fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school than those classmates with two parents. 71% of teenage pregnancies are to children from fatherless homes, perpetuating the cycle. Girls who grew up with involved, loving fathers have healthier relationships with the opposite sex. Girls who are raised in a fatherless home are 164% more likely to become pregnant before marriage and 92% more likely to dissolve their marriage when they get married. Here's just a staggering thought, and I want to consider this. The absence of biological fathers increases by 900% a daughter's vulnerability to rape and sexual abuse in the home. I remember when we were down in Dominica in the West Indies, living in the community we lived in, I became familiar with many of the families, many that came to our church. And what I observed is that young women in homes where there was not a father were vulnerable to a lot of predatory behavior. I just over and over again heard it. And so the reason, this is just one of the many reasons we say to fathers, hang in there. Hang in there and be a father to those children. 85% of all youth in prisons grow up in a fatherless home. Children who grow up with involved fathers have less trouble with the law. 72% of teenage murderers grew up without fathers. 85% of rapists come from fatherless homes. Fatherless children are 11 times more likely to exhibit violent behavior than children with two parents in a home. 90% of all gang members grew up in fatherless homes. Gang violence is responsible for roughly half of all homicides. The most reliable predictor of criminal behavior is the absence of a father in the home. Now, friends, this is what is the aftermath, and this is what we're hearing. Now, here's one also that was shocking, and I had to really dig in and try to find out if this was, to get some multiple input on this. Somewhere around 75% of the school mass shooters were from homes where a father was absent. And those homes also included substance abuse, domestic violence, child abuse, and criminal behavior. Here's what I found also. A father's attention to his son has enormous positive effects on a boy's emotional and social development, but a boy abandoned by his father is deprived of a deep sense of personal security. A close and intense relationship between a boy and his father prevents hostility and inappropriate aggressiveness. In a well-functioning family, the very presence of the father embodies authority, an authority conveyed through his daily involvement in family life. This paternal authority is critical to the prevention of psychopathology and delinquency. So those are some of the things that I found as I was just taking a look at this, and we realized the impact and the ramifications are felt in our society. And as it increases, what you and I have as citizens is to realize that we're going to be seeing more and more. And so we've got a part to play. So the roots of fatherlessness, it's multifaceted from all I can discern. But there are two things that have become evident. And I want to ask you to think about it as you observe the world that you live in. As you and I observe the fish tank we're swimming in, is to take a look, and I want to ask you to consider what you hear and what you hear out in your world. There's two that come forward. One is this: our culture's dismissal of men as valuable human beings who have something unique to offer. What we often hear is this: either men are not needed. I actually looked up a New York Times opinion piece, and here was the title of that opinion: Men, Who Needs Them? Who Needs Them? Either that men are not needed, or that, have you heard this, that masculinity is toxic. All the problems that we face just come from men. And men who are hearing this can be discouraged in that and just give up. Here's the second thing. You know, I'll say this, just as mothers bring something special to the raising of children, so do fathers. So do fathers. Here's the other, and that is this, and consider our time that you and I live in, and that is the dismissal of marriage as an institution that is crucial to the health and well-being of children. The dismissal of it is just not even important. There are those who attack and belittle the institution of marriage, an institution that children so desperately need. That is foolishness. It really is, because a loving home where you have a father and a mother who truly care about their children, are there to protect them, to guide them, and provide for them, creates a stable home situation for those children to grow up in. And here's the new take that is being pushed around, and that is that marriage is solely about the emotional fulfillment of adults. Basically, it's just about us. Are we happy in this? And so the very concept that marriage provides protection and guidance, security, and meeting the needs of the children that have been brought into the world. Look, children's needs are the same today as they were 100 years ago. It's we that have changed. It's the culture. It's the society. And it's important that we elevate the contribution of ordinary men doing the extraordinary work of fathering. When I think about our two sons and our son-in-law who are going out and fighting dragons every day and coming home and trying to grow those children up and give them what they need our encouragement, don't they? They need to know that we are behind them. As a society, if we directed 1% of the attention and media coverage that we as a society give to athletes and musicians and movie stars, if we directed that towards fathers, maybe boys and girls would see their moms and their dads as role models as well. Obviously, children in fatherless homes can survive and even thrive. I know of many who unfortunately didn't have a dad who was around, and they didn't just survive, they thrived. Okay, nobody's here to make that point. But what we are saying is, the sad truth is many do not. And those statistics that I laid out for you today are an indication that many young people grow up and they are wounded. I heard one of the leaders and one who's trying to speak to fathers. Actually, Oprah Winfrey devoted a whole segment to fatherhood. It's worth watching. I watched a segment of that, and one of the leaders said this: many young people have a hole in their soul in the shape of their dad, missing out. The family is the basic building block of a civil society, and dads are a foundational component. If we continue down the current path of devaluing dads and father absenteeism, where fathers are fleeing their responsibilities, and we dismiss marriage as unimportant, then society, as you and I know it, is on its way down. It's doomed. And so what we speak about is important. And God's word has something to say about fathering and fatherhood. And it would be wise, we would be wise if we paid attention to what it has to say. For those who grew up without a father, the Bible describes God as a father of the fatherless and a defender of widows. Let's turn to Psalm 68, and Eddie's going to bring those. Maybe it's already up there, I think. Yep. Psalm 68, and we're going to read verses 5 and 6, where it speaks about who God is, a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. But he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. I'm going to tell you, if you have read through the scripture, there's something that should jump out, and that is that God is all about defending the fatherless and the widow. And the time that the Bible was written, those were the two most vulnerable people in a society. Another group would be the foreigner, a person who had no family around them. They were from another place. And God is all about taking care of the vulnerable, the fatherless, and taking care of the widow, and giving this injunction to treat the foreigner in your midst, to treat them well. And I know the experience of that. I think I've shared with you, and I don't want to belabor it, but we picked up our family, Deb and I, and three little ones like this, and moved them to another country, and didn't know anybody. And we experienced what it was like to be a foreigner in another land. There were people who were very good to us, and there were some other folks that looked at us with a hard stare because we were just different. We came from another place, and it took a while for some folks to get to know us. But God is a father to the fatherless. There are scores of other verses that tell of the God of the universe as a defender of those who have no earthly dads. For those who have been deeply hurt by their earthly fathers, God's unconditional love is a healing balm. There are many, many people who have to honestly say, I didn't have a dad who was there. I didn't have a dad. I may have had a dad who was in the home, but he was too busy doing his own thing. He had his own agendas, and he didn't have time for us, his family. Many people have grown up like that, and they have found that the father to the fatherless can come and bring real healing to that broken heart. The Bible is the story of God's relentless pursuit and devotion to the human race. He is the dependable father who will never leave, the one who pours out his mercy and compassion on the brokenhearted, and whose comfort binds up wounds, and whose abundant grace eases pain. That's our God. This is God. And we know that. God's word offers wisdom and encouragement to fathers who will seek his guidance, a guidebook for fathers. I want to turn to another passage, Psalm 103. And I will tell you this, I know of some right here who are grandparents and new to the grandparent game like we are. We're just getting into it. Some here have been grandparents a long time. And you've got great grandchildren, but there are some of us here that are watching our kids grow their kids up. And I will tell you, it's a wonderful opportunity to speak truth into their lives and to show it. I think I've shared this with you before. As a father, we can still teach our kids. I will tell you, my dad's last days. Been gone for almost 10 years now, and we were fortunate enough to be there 24 hours a day the last 3 weeks of his life, and I will forever be grateful to this church's kindness and in giving us the time to be with my own dad. But do you know, even in my dad's leaving this life, he was teaching me something, and I was watching, and I was observing. So dads, even if your kids are grown, your job's not over with yet. You're still needed, and especially to those who have children who are growing up children. Let's take a look at Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13. You guys might just get out of here before 12 o'clock today. It's probably going to happen, all right? I've tried the last few weeks, and I haven't pulled it off, but today it might actually happen, all right? Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. That's called forgiveness. That's called not continually getting slapped in the face with past failures. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. So these are some characteristics of God, of our Heavenly Father. Every father should be paying attention to this and take a look and say, hey, that's the kind of dad that I should be. Every dad who's got children growing up children can point them in this direction. What should a father be like? Compassionate, merciful, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love, not constantly accusing, not remaining angry forever, and not always dealing harshly with things that are done wrong. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Let's bring it down to some practical things here, okay? So fathers are to do what? Well, to love their children as God loves his children. We just read these verses. But what else do fathers do? What else should fathers do? They should teach and train their children. Let's take a look at two passages. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And then we'll read Hebrews chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 3. What should fathers be about? Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. My children, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. And so a father is to love his children the way that God loves us, but a father also has the responsibility to teach and to train their children. Now, God doesn't practice child abuse. What God is talking about here is instruction, correction, encouragement, and example. Those are important in the life of a child. And children look to somebody. They ought to be looking to their father in this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7 in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12. What are fathers to do? This is Father's Day. We're talking about what fathers ought to be doing. Loving their children as God loves his children, teaching and training their children. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 7. We read this. Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as to his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? Let me ask you to think about this. If you have any dealings with young people, they're looking for boundaries, aren't they? A lot of times they're just probing to find out where the boundaries are. And you know why? Because boundaries give them a certain sense of security to know, hey, somebody loves me, somebody cares about what I do, about my life. And some kids are just more likely than others to be kicking at the boundaries. But you know what? They still want to know they're there. And that's why it's important. You know, somebody's got to be the parent. Do you agree with that? Somebody's got to show up and be the father. Somebody's got to show up and be the mother. And so this is the responsibility that we have, and that is to teach and to train our children. What better way than to walk in it and to turn around and to be able to say, walk this way? What a shaky position to walk in a way and to turn back and tell your children, don't do what I do. Don't follow me. That's not where we want to be. Teach and train our children. That's what fathers ought to be doing. And then to treat our children right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Some practical advice to fathers and to mothers as well. But it says specifically, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Not provoking them to anger or discouragement, but parenting them in a Christ-honoring manner. And that doesn't always mean saying yes, okay? That's not what that's talking about. Where it spoke there in Proverbs about as a father delights in his child, delighting in a child doesn't mean spoiling the child. It means loving them and teaching and training and doing what a father ought to do. So what else are fathers to do? Well, we are to follow through with the commitments that we make, to try our best when we say something to follow through and do it. And that would include commitments we make to their mothers as well, to try our best to be people where our yes is yes and our no is no. Fathers are to follow through with their commitments that they make. Also, to lead their families spiritually and morally, praying for their children, being an example, and then pointing those children to Christ. Paul wrote, we're not going to turn to it, but Paul wrote to the Corinthian people, those that he was a spiritual father to, in chapter 11 and verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, he says this, he says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And so fathers here today, and we're going to bring moms in on it too, you and I follow Christ, follow the will of God so that our children know who to follow. That makes some sense, to lead our families spiritually and morally. And then this, to make time for them so that they truly know that they are important to you. You know how children spell love? Anybody here know how children spell love? T-I-M-E, time. To let them know that they are truly important. Eating meals together. Attending events that they are involved in. I was thinking and preparing this message of, and I was tempted to sing a song I had written a couple of years back. I might have sang it last year about the man in the stands. I wrote about my dad, who he and my mom would come to all our ball games. And we lost everything. We always lost, but they were there. Seeing them in the stands meant the world to my brother and I. We would look out and we'd see them up there, and they were there. That says something to young people, that time. And then creating family activity where they know they're a part of this family. One of the best gifts a father can give to his children is time. It has a profound effect on children's development and well-being to know that my dad, my mom, care about me, and they're willing to put their own interest on hold and come and do some things. And, you know, when I was a kid playing Little League baseball and we played football, I just thought they were loving it. Now, you know, when we had our kids and we'd go to their basketball games, none of them played baseball. They played cricket down in the islands, but there's no cricket teams around here. You know, when I was sitting in the stands, you know, there were other things Deb and I could have been doing, but they were just assuming mom and dad must be just loving this. And you know what? They're going to get a chance when they become parents to sit in the same stands and understand the same thing. But it says something to the children that my mom and dad care about me. How many times have you observed young people either playing on a team, no mom and dad present, no mom and dad showing up to see the things they do, piano recital or some type of dance or some other activity, and no mom and dad anywhere around? They're looking, but nobody's there. And dads, let me just close with this, and moms as well. You know, it's not about being perfect. It really isn't. Because none of us pulls it off as a perfect parent. I've got things that I look back on, and I think, man, I could sure have done that better. Or some things I didn't even give attention to at all. and I think about it. But you know what? It's not about being perfect. You know what it's about? It's about being present. It's about being there. And so, you know, I realize today that there are not a whole lot of young families that are represented here today. I know of some. I know of some that are going to be fathers and mothers in the years ahead. And I hope this may land on a ready heart. But I also know, because I know you all, that you are parents of your children who are having children. And I want to encourage you to be praying for them. Be praying for those families. And pray for those children and encourage them. And if you hear of something good, I'm not talking about getting your nose in their business every time they turn around. Boy, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? You just see something and you just want to stick that nose in there and tell them something. Sometimes it's fitting. Other times, you know what? You get the brush off signal pretty quick. Pray for those opportunities. But even more than what you and I say is the example that we set in our own lives. And so that's the encouragement. That's the message today that we bring on this Father's Day, and that is that dads, you are needed. It may be that there's someone here today that knows of some young person who dad's not present in their life. It may be that God would put it on your heart. I couldn't help but think of Dick Workmeister, who came to this church and got to meet Sonia and her four boys. We've watched them grow up. One of them's flying around in airplanes. You may be flying in an airplane that he pilots in the days ahead, in the years ahead.
One of them just had a baby girl.
Okay. His life has changed. So keep your hearts open and realize that your life, what you know, what you bring can make a difference to someone. And those who have family members at home, encourage them. And pray for them. Simply put, and that is this, dads, you are needed, and we give thanks for you today. Let's all stand. We're going to have a time of invitation. And we'll pray. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, thank you for being our Father. And Lord, thank you for your constant love for humanity, Lord, for your creation. And Lord, we know that you're a good father. And Lord, we know a good father loves, is merciful, but also instructs and corrects and brings reproof, Lord. And we thank you for that because we know as well that there are boundaries. And Lord, please encourage each and every father here today as we take this time to give thanks for our fathers. We pray, Lord, for those who are right in the process of bringing up young people. Please help them, Lord. Please protect these families, protect the relationships. We pray, Father, for those young people who have a hole in their soul, we pray, God, they would come to know your love and your truth in their lives. And we ask you, Lord, to speak to hearts. We see such a need for it in our day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.